Maybe we shouldn't be too hard on the lawyers, the accountants, and the advertising executives in the drama. Even today, there will be many people celebrating Christmas who don't get it, don't get what Jesus has done, what God has done in sending Jesus to earth. Even today, people still don't get it. So let's not criticise the people in the drama. God knows we're a bit slow on the uptake when it comes to understanding the birth of a Saviour. So he helps us through the Bible by giving us clues and hints long before Jesus is born. He tells his people through his prophets centuries and centuries before Jesus is born that one day I will send someone special. So it's not like you're just sitting there and zap, out of the skies appears this angel and then you're left with no time to sort of process it. Centuries and centuries go by as God prepares people for the birth of Jesus. And one of those prophecies was read this morning by prophet Isaiah, where he says to us, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." This is one of the prophecies, one of the clues that warns us or advises us that this special person that God is going to send will actually be a child. Because you wouldn't in a million years predict that, would you? So when Jesus is born, people are able to go back and read that prophecy and go, "Ah, I remember once upon a time God actually telling us that there would be a special child born and the government would be on his shoulders." In other words, he would be a ruler. He would rule God's people. He would govern God's people. And we're told that this child, this son, is born to us, for us. He's like a gift from God. I saw a few gifts unwrapped this morning in bed, virtually on top of me, and I ended up with a lot of the gift wrapping literally on top of me by the end of it all. It's nice to know you're going to get gifts. Certain people in our family knew they were going to get gifts, and they were given a time limit, so they weren't allowed to open those gifts until a certain time had come. So God tells us, "I'm going to give you a gift, and you'll know it's a gift when that son is born. You'll know that is the gift, so that when Jesus is born, we are able to see him for what he is and go, 'Oh, now I get it. Now I get what God was doing.'" And we've got a chance to come to know who Jesus is. Now, if you're a child under 18, could you just raise your hand, please, if you're here today? Thank you. I know that sometimes you like telling jokes. Every year I have a Christmas joke competition, and this year it's been pretty poorly responded to. I haven't received too many. So all I've been able to do is come up with three, they're sort of very short jokes that you will be able to tell your mother or your grandmother over Christmas lunch. And I'll tell them to you later, okay? You'll have to listen to them. It's like those ads on radio when they say, "When we play the right song, you be the seventh caller in." Okay, so later on when I'm talking, I'll tell you some jokes, very short ones. So we know this is a son, and he's a human born like every human being. But Isaiah is given a little bit more of the jigsaw because he's told that this son will have four names that means he's more than a child, more than a human. The four came up in one of our songs and in the reading. He's a wonderful counselor, he's mighty God, he's everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. Wonderful counselor. A counselor is someone who helps you, gives you wisdom. And this person, this child, will come with the wonderful, the amazing wisdom and counsel of God himself. You know, you can spend your life following the wisdom of the astrology columns in the newspaper, believing in Lady Luck, touch wood, All sorts of superstitions. You can spend your whole life believing that those things will guide you. But God actually says, I'll send a child who will give you my counsel, my wisdom. He's mighty God, El Gibor, someone who has the power of God. He is God himself in all his might and power. And yet, he will use his power for good. He is not like any other ruler who has ever lived, because he will use his power to restore people, restore communities, and rescue people. That's the sort of power that this child will have. No other ruler has that sort of power. He is everlasting Father. Slightly tricky description for those of you who know the Bible, because we call this child the Son. But I think what Isaiah is tapping into is that Jesus will be like a father in the sense that he will care for people. And the word everlasting there means forever. Forever he will care for people. His care for people won't stop when he dies. It will go on. And it's going on even today. People know that the Lord Jesus cares for us. You see that when he grows up and he heals people and he fixes up their troubled hearts and he forgives them and he looks after them. And this will go on forever. He's also called here the Prince of Peace. His work on the cross will bring peace between us and God through the forgiveness of sins. His work on the cross will mean that we can have peace between one another because he shows us how to forgive one another. So there'll be potential peace amongst communities. And we look for a time when Jesus will return, and it offers us hope that at the end there'll be peace between God and the whole creation. Isn't that extraordinary? Peace between us and God, all of us together, us and the whole of creation. A Prince of Peace. Someone who uses his royal position to establish peace. Shalom. These names show that this child is a remarkable person. Yes, he was born like every human being, like you. Well, you weren't born in a manger, maybe, but he was born. But he's more than a human. He is divine, everlasting, mighty, a prince from heaven. You ready? What did Mrs. Claus say to Mr. Claus on the night before Christmas? It looks like rain, dear. What did Adam say to his wife on the night before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. I just had to get that punchline in before someone over here did. And last one, kids. What is the difference between the Christmas alphabet and the ordinary alphabet? In the Christmas alphabet, there is no L. Think about it. So you can tell your grandmothers and your mothers those jokes over Christmas lunch. Now, do you get it? Not the jokes, that is. Do you get it? When you look at the child, do you get it? Or are you going to walk out of here a bit like the guys in the drama? It's just not practical. It's not the right time. It's not feasible. You walk out exactly as you came in. The angels announced it, but I don't believe it. I'm unmoved. I'm unconvinced. It doesn't add up. It's not the right time for me to put my faith in Jesus. You're going to be like that? And you come back again next Christmas, and you just don't get it again. How long are you going to spend your life a bit like that? Because one day you'll die, and you'll meet God, and God will say, you didn't get it. I gave you all those chances to get it, and you didn't get it. He came. He was a gift to you. He was my son, and he's still alive. We celebrate here this morning the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, the mighty Prince of Peace, whose peace and justice will be like no other ruler's, who offers us the best chance in life to make the most of our lives, because God has made us and God knows what we like and he knows we need the Lord Jesus. He is your greatest gift this Christmas. Will you get it? Will you receive it? Let me pray. Dear God, we rejoice at the birth of Jesus this morning. We rejoice in our struggles and achievements that Jesus is with us. We rejoice that even in our world of darkness and destruction, that Jesus is alive and ruling. We rejoice, dear God, that you sent Jesus into our messy world to rescue and restore us. We thank you for this great gift that we receive again and afresh with joy this Christmas. Amen.